Oh, thank you for being here tonight. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be sharing a scripture out of Matthew chapter 26. And if you would, there you go. Thank you. The Spirit is willing. That's what I want to talk to you about this evening. Matthew 26:41. Now, the context is Jesus has spent a good bit of time teaching them. You can read John 13, 14, 15, and 16. He has prepared them. He's told them that he's going to be crucified. And he's had the Lord's Supper with them. They established the new covenant meal. And now he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's taken Peter, James, and John with him. And he separates from them and goes over and begins to pray. And he tells them in verse 41 of Matthew 26. He says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." These men, as well as the other disciples, were about to be cast into one of the biggest trials they would ever go through in their entire life. Jesus was about to step into the culmination of his very purpose for coming to earth as God's Son through the womb of a virgin. He came to live a sinless life and to die a sacrificial death. All of that was upon them. All of that was facing upon him, and all of that was facing them. And this is what he encouraged them to do. So we too go through times in our life when we're on the verge of crises, where things are changing at a fast pace. You may not always know what's coming. Sometimes you have a sense that, you know, something's about to give way, and you may be thrust into circumstances not of your own choosing, find yourself in situations that are requiring more than you have to give. And this is a scripture that we need to be mindful of, because Jesus shares it with them at a very vital time in their lives. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The first thing I want to point out from this singular verse is that Jesus recognized human limitations. I'm going to be talking about the spirit and the flesh as we develop this, but I want you to see, first of all, that he recognizes that these men, what they're about to step into, what he's about to face, but he recognizes they are men. He recognizes they're human beings. He recognizes they have access to the spirit. Now, there could be a reference here to the spirit inside of them, their spirit. Also a reference to the Holy Spirit is there to help and assist. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. When God created man, he made man in his likeness. We know that God is triune. We use the term the Trinity. You don't find that term in the scripture, Trinity. But you do find the triune nature of God presented in scripture. In the baptisms tonight, patterning after Jesus' command in Matthew 28, we baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Man was made in the image of God. God is spirit. We are spirit in our essence. You have a spirit, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. So man has a triune nature as well. We see Paul when he's writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 3 and 24. "I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless," or be sanctified. It's a reference to the triune nature of man. Many times you see the soul and the body, a reference in the Old Testament, but you see a more thorough expression of man's triune nature in New Testament theology. He's spirit, soul, and body. So you know, God created the heavens and the earth. There's even the sense in which there's the heavens where the birds fly, the heavens where astronauts fly, and the heavens where angels fly, the third heaven, because the scripture uses the third heaven as a reference, which means there must be a second heaven and a first heaven. So you see this these triune patterns in scripture, but specifically here, Jesus is recognizing these men are human beings. They have a spirit, but they also have that part of them that's unique, uniquely them, their soul and their body. He uses the term flesh, sarx, the word, Greek word sark. Often it can be a reference to the evil aspect of our fallen nature. Not always. Sometimes flesh can be used in just the sense of your human body. You're limited in your human body. You can only be one place at one time. In the age of smartphones, we can almost be somewhere else at the same time. But we have limitations. And Jesus recognizes. And we see here specifically as the story unfolds, he comes back and what are they doing? Are they watching and praying? No, they're snoozing and losing. That's what they're doing. But why? Because it's in the middle of the night. And they're having a hard time staying awake. Even though they realize there's something happened, they don't fully comprehend what's about to happen. Jesus is about to be arrested. Peter's about to deny Christ. All of them are going to scatter like a covey of quail, and their world's going to be turned upside down. But yet, in their human bodies, they're sleepy. I remember when Mickey and I were dating, I drove 51 miles to date her, and it was worth every mile. But, you know, I was 19 when we got married. She was 18, so we were dating, you know, in our late teens. And we got to the point where her parents would let her stay up to midnight. And I remember being at her house, and I'd stay to midnight till I had to leave, of course. But I had an hour drive back home, and it was 51 miles. And I remember more than a few times on that way home getting so sleepy. I tried everything. I actually would slap myself to try to keep myself awake. I remember one time pulling over out on the side of the road. This was in wintertime. Pulling over on the side of the road, getting out of the car and just running laps around the car, trying to get awake. But on one of those occasions, I was driving home late at night, trying to stay awake, and I dozed off to sleep. I don't think it was very long, but when I opened my eyes, I immediately saw a stop sign. I slammed on the brakes, and it was where the road come into another highway, a T. I slid all the way across the road, so grateful nothing was coming, slid across the highway, and when I stopped, my front wheels were in the edge of the ditch, and there was just a big embankment. 1 second later, I would have hit that embankment head on. Because when I looked at my speedometer, I was going like between 60 and 70 miles an hour when I woke up. And I believe God just spared my life, but just because I was sleepy. I just couldn't stay awake. Our human weaknesses are limited not only in that way, but when we feel pressure on us, we can revert to that old man rather easily if we're not careful. We can become irritated. We can become fearful. We can become angry. We can become temperamental. We can withdraw. We can become depressed. There's so many different things that can happen out of that human part of us that's fallen. Our bodies were originally created to exist forever in the Garden of Eden, but that didn't last long. And so we arrived here with these human bodies. And we hold these treasures, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that we hold these treasures in earthen, 2 Corinthians 4:7. We now have this light shining in our hearts, speaking of believers, but we ourselves are like, in the New Living Translation, it says, we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. The Message Bible says it this way. If you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness we carry. The brightness. We carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. And of course, the New King James Version says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The Bible even says, Paul teaches, that in our weakness, His grace is manifest strongly. We know His power because of our weakness. And these disciples, Jesus is telling them, you're going to need something you don't have in your human weakness. You can interpret that across the spectrum. Because of your fallen nature, you're not going to have what you need. Because you're limited in this human body, you're not going to have what you need to endure what you're about to go through. Your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. So, you need to know that. It's like I think Clint Eastwood said it. That's all I'll say about the movie. You can hear it in. But a man's got to know his limitations. And that's, it's true. You need to know your limitations in your humanity. Jesus himself became tired. He became thirsty and so forth. He needed sleep. And so that brings me to the second thing I want to share from this, is that not only did Jesus recognize human limitations, but Jesus recognized temptation came through these limitations. Isn't that what he says? The spirit's willing, indeed, but the flesh is weak. He said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Why? Because your flesh is weak. You know, sometimes we're most prone to get in trouble when we think, I got this. When we're relying upon our human abilities. And that's what Paul was saying in that 2 Corinthians passage. God chose to use us weak folks to manifest His power so they wouldn't be confused to think it was us and not God. Jesus recognized that our human limitations, our limitations that we have, our fallenness, put all of it in the same ball of wax. He recognized that is a gateway for the enemy to be at work, to lead us into temptation. And that opens a whole, that opens a series of doors. You know, the sense in your flesh, in your fallenness, you have generational propensities and tendencies and weaknesses. We call this family line issues. You hear the term generational curses. That just simply means the curse manifests in our family lines in different ways, and in some families you'll see it manifest maybe in alcoholism. Or this family, they're known for having a short fuse and to blow up big and fast, you know, hot tempered. Or, well, depression runs in that family, or they're given to this addiction, or, you know, the guys in that family, they just like to run around. On and on it goes, the way that the weakness can occur, but temptation comes in those points. If you take the list of the 12 disciples and you look at their different backgrounds, one of them was a zealot, a terrorist, maybe a mid-range terrorist type person. One was a tax collector. You know, there's different range and even their history. And their journey in life can create areas of weakness. And on it goes. We cannot live the Christian life relying upon our human resources. And that's putting it to the point. You just can't. And Jesus recognized the devil's going to use that as an entrance to get into your life. Paul teaches that in Ephesians chapter 4. Be ye angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. There he clearly teaches I think, along with all the other things that's mentioned in that passage, of the anger, the bitterness, corrupt speech, all of that, are places where the enemy can gain ground in our life. So, sometimes our weakness is our self-assessment of something that we have that we think is our strength. Because then we can get into pride. Again, I got this. Which meaning, take the day off, God. I can handle this one. We don't want to think that way. You know, Paul says to pray without ceasing. Why? We have to be continually dependent upon the Lord. So, but again, if you look at the context, even I think Jesus recognized why they fell asleep. You know, and this is kind of a sidebar, but I do think it pertains to this, is we do need to recognize there is a place for proper care of our human physical bodies. God created us. I mean, he created us so that we need sleep. And I used to didn't think as much about this. The older I've gotten, some of these things have become more important than they were previously. But, you know, getting good rest is really important for your body, for your longevity, for your health. Again, you are spirit, soul, and body. And one does affect the other. When things are best in your spiritual life, that provides tons of benefits to your soulish life, your mind, your emotion, your reason, your imagination. You know, if you're strong spiritually, you'll be less apt to be governed by emotions going awry, or anxiety going awry, worry, and so forth. What's going on in your soulish life can affect your body. All of it, we're an integrated whole as spirit, soul, and body. And I believe that's, you need to think of it this way. If that wasn't important, then why will we have all of these forever? We will be given new glorified bodies. In other words, after the resurrection, you will have a body to live in eternally, suited for eternity, a body. Now, I believe it will be far less limited, maybe unlimited would be the best way to for. It'll be unlimited in the sense that ever what Jesus could do in his glorified body, you know, he's not going to be limited by time, space or any of that, but you will have a body. Your soul is the unique immaterial part of your being that makes you different than the person sitting next to you. Your unique personality and your spirit, that is from God. Your spirit man who there's a connectivity with God who is spirit. And so if our spirit is the strongest and our soul comes in alignment and our body comes into alignment being led by the spirit, that's when we're our best selves. Because when your body's functioning as it ought to, you're healthy. When your soul is right, then you're happy. And when everything's right in your spirit, you're holy. And so all of that's important. Jesus recognized temptations comes to the, so your body needs rest, your body needs sleep, your body needs exercise, your body needs proper nutrition and so forth. And more than anything, your body needs a strong spirit residing inside of you. And your spirit can be made stronger. Jude talks about praying in the spirit, building up your most holy faith. You can become spiritually stronger. And it really boils down to being able to become submissive to the Holy Spirit. So it's not so, the problem's not so much of you having the Holy Spirit, it's as it is the Holy Spirit having you. And so we are our best selves when we The Holy Spirit is governing our life, and everything else is in alignment with His leadership. In 1 Corinthians 6, 15 and following, Paul said, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Now he uses a physical example of a man who joins with a harlot. And in a sexual relationship, the two become one, connected in that way. He uses that because he knew people could understand that imagery. But we want to be faithful to the Lord because we are in union with Him. His Spirit lives in our body. And so the point Paul's making is, when you join, like you commit sexual immorality, then you're defiling the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Because he goes on to say in verse 18, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body." Now listen to this, outside the body. "But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Again, there you see that union of your body and spirit with God's Spirit. And so, and Jesus is saying that the enemy wants to work through the gateway of our flesh to hinder our spiritual growth, get our eyes off Jesus, and even defile the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Third thing I want to share, and I only have three to share. And not only did Jesus recognize human limitations, and not only did he recognize that temptations comes through these limitations, Jesus recognized that awareness and prayer were needed to overcome these limitations. He said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Awareness and prayer, watching and praying. The term watch there, to be on the lookout, to be aware, to be alert. And Jesus was basically alerting them by saying to stay awake, be alert, be on the lookout. Your spirit's willing. Lean into your spirit. Rely upon your spirit. Rely upon the Holy Spirit. Your human resources are going to fail you. You need to watch and pray so that you can be spiritually strong. So awareness and prayer are so important. The willingness and power of the Spirit within us manifest as we are aware and rely upon God and pray. That's what Jesus is saying. And I like the idea of being consciously aware of God's presence. What do I mean by that? Well, say on a Sunday morning where we're in worship, maybe you've had a tough week. And maybe you didn't even really want to be here, but you know, there's that part of you, know, I'm committed, I know I need it, so you come on. And everybody's worshiping, and it's just like you're just not in the flow, you're not getting much. But somewhere along the way, maybe the atmosphere begins to shift, the praise becomes more intense. We express this different ways, but like you just sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit as we gather together corporately. Jesus even said, "If two or three of you gather in my name, I will be there in your midst." Well, he's already promised he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I believe that's also perhaps he is saying, I will manifest in that gathering. I believe there is a corporate anointing and presence when we come together. We have the assurance of His presence with us always, but we are called to assemble together. Things happen when we gather, when we come, we bring our corporate faith together. And like I said, sometimes we may come, it may even be the preacher. You come in and it's just like, you know, just, and then, but in that corporate atmosphere, you start being quickened or awakened and alert. You become aware of God's presence. And it's like everything shifts and changes with you. And in that moment, I'm glad I came. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And you may have come in somewhat discouraged, but you leave energized, lifted up, encouraged. That's taken place in your spirit, but it has affected your soul and your body as well. We have so many scriptures that teach us the joy of the Lord, your strength. All your strength. Joy. It's a commodity that's produced by the Holy Spirit within you. And it gives you power. And so Jesus said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. There's an empowering that comes through being aware of, spiritually aware of what's happening. I would encourage you to try to view all of your life through a spiritual lens. Because the enemy's always, he wants to take all the stuff going on in culture, he wants to use that to leverage you away from the Lord, away from the Lord's purposes. He wants to leverage your emotions away from the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He wants to leverage your emotions away from the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But when we're consciously aware, we can begin to sense. There's been times when I changed the channel. I've become aware that I'm about to begin to have some spoiled fruit, if you know what I mean. You may become irritated or anger. It's like it's taking you down a road that you don't want to go down. I mean, just in the last couple of days, there was I was about to be pulled into a discussion, and it's like I just sensed my peace beginning to be disturbed, and I realized that I was in the middle of studying and doing some work for my message on Sunday, and through just considering responding to communication I had, the Holy Spirit just alerted me, and I realized, you know what? No, I'm not going to respond, because I could see it was already going to tie up an amount of time about something that couldn't end up in a good place. I'm trying to be non-specific, because you can plug in your situation. I'm just saying there are going to be people trying to yank your chain all the time, and the enemy wants to use that chain to yank your attention away from Jesus, how you need to behave, how you need to act, how you need to think, away from what, to get you to forget what the Scripture teaches, what the Scripture says. Let's not do that. We're entering into temptation. Watch. Pray. Sometimes it's not a bad idea to even pray before you speak. Pray before you think. Now, I don't always do good at that. But when I do that, I come out better than when I don't. Watch and pray. It's not just for five alarm emergencies, so to speak. It's just something to live by, to be aware. Holy Spirit, what do you say about this? Holy Spirit, how would you have me respond? Holy Spirit, why is my peace being disturbed? Why am I feeling down today? Have you ever got up in the morning and you just felt down when you got up? I'm telling you, sometimes atmospheres, it can be happening just because of something emotionally. Your emotions could be being dealt with because of hormones being released in your body. Stuff going on in your brain, chemicals in your body. There's so many things. But Jesus is Lord over everything. Your whole spirit, soul and body, Paul says, pray, you know, that your whole spirit, soul and body, he said, I pray that your whole spirit be preserved blameless, be sanctified. In other words, set apart for the Lord. So that means no matter what's going on to cause things to be out of kilter, we have the resource of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And how do we access that? Often it's through prayer. And I don't mean to make this individualistic about just, Lord, help me with this. It's also, in what were those disciples going to be facing? Jesus was about to be arrested. And we know that Peter didn't come from a prayer meeting where he did much praying, or he wouldn't have tried to cut a guy's head off. Missed and got his ear, right? I mean, he just, boom, right in flesh. That's where temptation was coming. His motives were good. I'm going to protect Jesus. You're not going to arrest him. But Jesus healed the ear. He fixed Peter's mess. Healed the guy's ear. And then he knew that this was the path he had to walk to fulfill God's purpose for his life. So I'll sum it up by simply reminding you that the Holy Spirit is always accessible and available to you as a believer to energize and empower your spirit, to fill you with the strength to be emotionally stable, to give you the wisdom to do what you need to do, to be physically where you need to be. He will help you so that you will not enter, fall prey, step in the trap, step on the landmine of the enemy, and fall into temptation. He is our helper in that regard. He won't lead us astray. He won't lead us the wrong way. And we are being good sons and daughters when we are allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. That's what the scripture says. That's how we know sons of God. They are led by the Holy Spirit. So watch and pray. Watch and pray. And when Jesus earlier taught them the Lord's Prayer, that was one of the things you pray. When you pray, pray like this. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What does that lead us not into temptation look like? Well, sometimes it looks like when we're aware, when we're alert, the Holy Spirit will let us know. Wait a minute, my peace is being disturbed. Wait a minute, I think we're supposed to wait. Oh, I don't think I'm supposed to say this. I think this is the scripture I'm supposed to share. I think this is the direction I'm supposed to go. That's when he's answering that prayer, lead us not into temptation. It's not always, okay, God's going to make the donkey you're sitting on refuse to do what you want it to do so you won't get in trouble, like he did for Balaam. It's not always like that. He wants us to learn to watch and pray. A little bit different take on this, but I wanted to apply it more personally for what you may be going through tonight. So, Father, help us. Help us to heed this scripture. Help me to heed it. Lord, to be mindful, to be aware, to be alert of ways the enemy would want to create inroads into my weakness, into our weaknesses, in order to lead us off track. Lord, help us to be strong in spirit. Help us to pray in the spirit. Help us to bathe our souls in the scriptures. Help us to worship and encounter your presence. Lord, help us to be faithful to position ourselves to be strong and ready for whatever comes our way. Thank you for those who have chosen this night to gather here. And I pray, Lord, that each person would leave with a deposit from this message that would be helpful to them. And I pray that you, each of you, be filled anew and afresh, even now, with God's Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit come upon you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet and release to you this night what you need. And I pray that all frustrations, all distractions, all irritations just be pushed aside as you gaze fully upon the Lord Jesus Christ. As you're aware of His presence with you now. He led you here tonight. He's with you here tonight. He'll help you here tonight. So just take a moment and between you and the Lord, just say, Lord, I receive this tonight. Just receive into your spirit and into your soul. Let it become engrafted into you. Just pray to that end for a moment. Receive his strength. Be aware of his presence. Bask in his love. Be strengthened. Be refreshed. Receive his peace. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. This altar area is open. If anyone needs prayer, come on up. I'll be happy to pray with you. There are others here that will be happy to pray with you as well. Thank you for being here on Wednesday. See you back on Sunday morning at either 8, 9, or 10:30. And we'll meet back here next Wednesday night at 6:30.